Season 2, Episode 12, Largemouth Bass. Episode starts out with Sipwitz and Simone heading to a murder of a lady in an apartment, and it's pretty horrible from what you can tell.
Stabbed, what, 20 times?
Stabbed, like, 30 times as she was walking up the stairs. So there's blood all over the stairs and all over the...
See, so I just watched this episode, like, less than an hour ago.
Which is good, because this is the one that I haven't seen for a little while. The other ones I watched much...
There's a mix-up in the continuity of the story.
Uh-oh.
Because in the beginning, they say she was coming down the stairs. Or coming up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else says, oh, the neighbor saw her going down the stairs. So which was it?
So that's the big continuity error?
To me, it was. And then I think testimony? They even talked about later, or in the middle part, they talked about how maybe she came down the stairs, ran around, and then ran back up the stairs.
Which is completely possible because of how the story unfolds and who it is and what's happening. She could have saw who it was and then tried to run up the stairs. But there's a woman who's an eyewitness up there, and she's a little old. And they're trying to get her information, but she's a little shook up. And
yeah.
Sipwitz pulls the cool Sipwitz line of making her look at him while they walk down the stairs.
Yeah.
And has that, like,
a good, he knows how to deal with old people.
He knows how to deal with witnesses and such.
Yeah. He does a good job there.
I think after that they head back to the house, and one of Simone's old friends is in the lockup.
Yeah, I forgot the name of the officer, but he's like a recurring officer.
Yeah, he's a recurring uniformed officer.
Uniformed officer. He catches him. He pulls two guys over for a broken taillight, and then one of them gets mouthy, and then he sees cocaine in the door. Or he sees cocaine in the door, like, calls him on it, and then the driver, who isn't Simone's friend, gets mouthy, so he arrests them. And he's basically saying, it can all go away, but you need to talk to him first.
I don't doubt that that happens in police stations all over the place. Guys going up to other guys and be like, hey man, I could change what my paperwork says if you want to have a conversation. In the story, his name's Raymond DeSalvo. He comes into the police station and is like, I have a friend, Bobby Simone. Go get Bobby Simone.
It's been really weird.
And... like, if a guy
it's
does
really
that...
It's really weird because, like, it's... Sorry to interrupt, but it's really weird because this guy's, like... like, this guy hasn't been in his life for a really long time. He happens to get arrested in his precinct. And, like, all of a sudden, this guy's like, hey, we're, like, best friends and we should see each other every day.
Yeah.
It gets really weird. Like, I have a club. Come hang out. Like, it's really, really weird. Also, and then, like, you kind of get a little bit of backstory that, like, he's older than Simone, even though Simone's bigger than him,
mm-hmm.
and he kind of was, like, a big brother to him on the streets, so that's why Simone gives him, like, the benefit of the doubt in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but it's, like, it was a weird, he just became, like, kind of, like, single white female, like, super stalker, it was super awkward. What a rhyme.
But isn't it, it's also suspicious that, like, this guy's like, oh, I got into a club, I have a friend that has drugs, and is an asshole to other cops. Like, to me, if I was in Simone's shoes, I'd be like, it's suspicious, like, this guy wants an inside track into police stations, and the police, because he's obviously doing bad shit now. But what bothered me is, like, if I was a cop, and I came into the precinct, and the guy's like, so, we have your old friend here, and the second he got arrested, he mentioned your name, and said, yeah, come, go get him and help me out. I'd be like, well, no, I haven't talked to him in forever. Like, I wouldn't be super cool on helping him, because then he has the attitude of, oh, well, Kirk will get me out of this jam, because he's my friend, and he's a cop.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And, like, I have attitude of, like, that doesn't mean you just get out of whatever you did.
No, I get that, but I think, like, I think cops help people get off that they're friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm just, like, overthinking it here, but I feel like if, like, that happened to me, and I needed a cop, a friend to get me off, and he got me off and we really didn't hang out, I would never ask him again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I could never ask him a second time to get me off.
It's just
weird.
I also wouldn't expect him to, like, warn me about potential, pitfalls in my life, which later in, was it not later, not in this episode, but the next episode, is it? No, this episode.
In this episode, because Fancy pulls him aside when, I think the mother of the girl comes in. And when they're going into the room, Fancy pulls him aside and says, "Hey, you were at some Rio club last night." And he, because he ends up going to the club that Ray DeSalvo is part of. He says he's an owner, but he's not really an owner.
He's just a douchebag.
Yeah, I just think he's just a low end lackey for the mafia.
He's a Mac. He's Mac in the episode of Always Sunny when he's in the Mafia.
Yeah, but pretty much.
He's pussy hands.
He's cleaning their track suits and shit. sorry.
So Fancy tells him
there's an undercover narcotics sting going on and they saw you there. Stay away from it. Mm-hmm. And then Simone's like, "Oh, who are they going after?" And Simone's like getting information using Fancy's trust against him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tries to warn him. He basically tells him, like, "Hey," and the guy doesn't get it. The guy's an idiot. All the guy cares about is Bonita.
Yeah, the thing I wrote was Simone tells Raymond to avoid club, and Raymond is just a douche.
Yeah, there was something really weird that happened when they were in the club.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part where we're in the club and, like, this really slow song comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray DeSalvo dances with Bonita.
But, yeah.
He says, "Bonita, come on." And Simone's sitting down. And Bonita doesn't go out on the dance floor right away. She looks at Simone. And Simone gives her this nod that's like, "Yeah, it's okay, you can go dance with, you can go peasant girl." Like, "Go dance with the, and come back to me later." Like, there was this weird look. I was just like, well, that was very sexist. It was very weird.
And the note I wrote was, Bonita is dancing with Raymond, but for Simone.
Yeah, which is also weird. To me, because it's like, that's a really awkward friend to be sexualizing, like, your girlfriend, you know?
Well, it's also, because me and you aren't dancing folk. Like, I don't know if anybody could tell from our voices, we're not dancing people, we don't dance.
Excuse me, I'm pretty limber on the dance floor.
But from what I understand, and this is where I sound racist, but I don't mean to be racist, there are other cultures where, like, people straight up dance together very sensually, and then they just, like, part ways. You know what I'm saying?
No, man, it's either you got it, rhythm, or you don't.
But the point I'm saying is people, like, switch up partners, and they dance with each other, and, like, dancing is just something they do, and then they separate.
Like, do you think every dance is like fucking Grease or Footloose?
No.
Like, they break out into choreographed, like, two-on-two dancing and they switch it up?
You are not listening to me. But that, I'm not talking...
Most of the time at high school dances, what happens is you go with someone and you really don't switch around.
Well, that's different.
You just stay with that girl and you grind up on her awkwardly.
This isn't prom, though. These are adults going to, like, a samba club where dance is, like, the main course.
I don't know, I don't go to samba clubs.
Exactly, that was my point. That's why I prefaced this whole conversation with, "Me and you aren't dancers." That's why I set up a very simple point, and then you were like,
"But I've been to other clubs.
What are we talking about, Grease? Footloose?"
I've been to other clubs, and most of the time, they're not just like, it's not like a, like, Frogger bouncing around, like, trying to cross the street to the next one.
Yes, and dancing is not like Frogger, the game.
Anyways, moving on. So, this murderer, the wife comes in, And the wife says, "Oh, it's my ex-husband."
Well, the mother of
the girl that was killed. It was her ex-husband, who was not the biological father of the girl, just a stepfather. And he's been threatening to kill her for a while. Boom, he did it. They go investigate his work, and his boss is. So I didn't know how to take this boss interaction.
Because his boss
like comes off kind of douchey,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time they're being really douchey to him, and he's being nothing but forthcoming to them with information. Like, granted, it's coming in an annoying way, where he like walks away and doesn't say like, "Oh, hold on, I have this book." He just goes and gets the book. Like, I would be super annoyed by it. But I kind of felt like Simone and Sipowicz were being super hostile to him for no reason.
Well,
I think they're annoyed that the guy got... Oh, well, because I think they're annoyed that the guy... they couldn't find the guy. But I just felt like they were being super hostile to him for no reason. That was just my thing.
Well, the reason I think they are so hostile is, like, this case is basically a slam dunk. Because they talk to the mother, and they're like, "Hey, do you think there's anybody that could do this?" And she gives exactly who could do this. She says, "Yeah, she's even been calling me and saying that he's been following her around in a stupid disguise." And then they show the sketch that I think the old woman made. And they show her the sketch, and she goes, "Yeah, that's him." And so they're like, "Oh, this is sweet. This is a slam dunk. All we need to do is get the guy." So they go to his work to check his alibi, or where he would be. And the guy, I think the reason they're upset and they get, like, really pushy with him is because the guy basically goes, "So do you have a guy that works here? Named blah, blah, blah? Yeah. Was he working yesterday or the day before? Yeah, all day." He's like, "Do you want to, like, check something? Like, do you want to check some books or, because do you know for sure he was here all day? Or do you want to ask around? Because we are police officers who might be asking for an important reason." And then the guy kind of gives them... If I say he was here, which...
No, I get that, but I don't know, I just felt like they got really, like, they were annoyed from the get-go.
I'd have to rewatch the scene to be sure.
I don't know, maybe that was just me.
Well, also, I mean, they're understandably a little perturbed. The woman was stabbed, like, 30 times, and then they find out this guy's been, like, stalking and planning it for a while, and then just did it and ruined this woman.
Yeah.
He
destroyed that woman.
The other story that's happening that's not that great or interesting, Lesniak gets a lady that got tricked with a box.
Oh god, it was so boring.
The Lesniak Martinez story is boring?
Yeah, that was just a really bad storyline to get Martinez and Lesniak to
talk to each other.
Yeah.
Just a scam.
And coexist and be in scenes together. That was the only reason for it, because it was a bad storyline.
This woman comes in, and she has this box. Like, that's the weird thing that I think would, if they were a normal thinking human being, when you walk into a police station with a box that is nothing, there's just a plastic box, and then you say out loud, "Yeah, this is supposed to make you look better by sticking your head in it." Don't you, like, I feel like immediately you'd go, "Oh, wow. I'm an idiot, and I was scammed." Like, I think that would just be automatic. But not with this woman. She tells the whole story, and at one point, Lesniak's like, "Yeah, you were conned. There's a new boss in town."
Yeah, that's what the main title is based off of. His last name is Bass.
And he comes in, and he talks to Fancy, and kind of gives, like, a straightforward... Like, I base everything on people's performance. I'm a straight shooter. Open communication.
Very no-nonsense.
Very no-nonsense. I'm direct. However, no overtime unless I approve it.
Yes.
And Fancy immediately goes, "Okay, well, that's going to lead to a lot of phone calls." And he said...
Yeah, Fancy gives him a heads up right away. He doesn't sugarcoat it.
This is going to lead to, of course, the big issue where Sipowicz and Simone sit on this guy's house... The guy that murdered his stepdaughter, and he doesn't come home, and they don't see him, and they send two police officers to relieve them. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, I need to rewatch it, I think one of them's Bill Clark. the detective that's the consultant on the show?
Oh, I don't know. That I don't know. But I do know that there's a really funny scene where they argue over the radio.
Oh, that's right. I wrote here, my Sharona is playing.
Sipwitz doesn't like that crap.
He said, you changed my station? I guess it's a question. And then it turns into an argument because Simone starts singing the song that they end up landing on, too. He sings that song as well. And then he's like, what's up with you? It seems like you got laid.
Yeah. That was awkward. They have to leave, so they go back to the house. Sipwitz is pissed.
Mm-hmm.
The captain's there. He kind of introduces himself and says it was his call. And Simone is super annoyed. And the captain goes, are you sure that's even the guy? And then Sipwitz is like, I've been catching bad guys for 18 years. He goes, that's the guy. And then they go home. They catch get the guy at 1:30 in the morning. The night guys bring in the lady. They do a lineup. She doesn't recognize him. They let the guy go. And as Sipwitz is coming in, he crosses paths with the guy. And finds out all his info. And then he goes nuclear.
Oh, yeah. At one, I wrote down the quote, roll around in your fertilizer, you turds.
Yeah, he gets mad at the two guys who didn't call him. He gets mad at Vince Catelli. Then he comes upstairs and the captain's there
and he gets
with Lieutenant Fancy. And so he's giving the captain a lot of attitude.
Oh, yeah. He's giving him that high-quality Sipowitz attitude.
But Fancy does a really good thing because he, like... He basically gets everyone to shut up, and then he's like, okay, it happened, now what do we do to fix it? Like, let's worry about fixing it, and we can yell at each other later. And that kind of snaps Sipwitz and them out of it.
I think maybe that's the point, that Sipwitz realized that maybe the boss wasn't on the up and up. Like, they can go back at his boss to hit his alibi.
I think even Simone says, like, we gotta take a run at that at his job.
Because
there has to be something in between the time that the girl is murdered if he was at work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then they go back there. They question the guy more and more. And then Sipwitz pulls out the booze bottle from his desk.
But Sipwitz, because they go and talk to the guy, and the guy's like basically in his office. They even have a line earlier in the episode where he's like, yeah, I'm sure he saw him through the hole in his newspaper. Implying, like, the guy doesn't really even do his job. He just, like, sits there and collects a check.
Yeah.
But when they go see him the second time, like, they're in his office in the doorway, and Sipwitz is, like, talking to him, and then he just pulls out the drawer and pulls out a bottle of booze. Like, he knew exactly where it would be. And then they do this, which they sometimes do. They basically say, hey, do you want to keep your job? Then tell us for sure, was he here or not? Figure out a way to let us know that he was here.
Like, there's a lot of blackmailing going on.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like isn't on the up and up.
So. Oh, yeah. In a couple, like, I don't know which episode it is, but in an episode to come, they do something that I was like, I don't know if I could morally be okay with that if I was a police officer, using that against someone. But we'll get to that later. Another thing with the lady with her head in a box, that...
Yeah.
Like, they convince her, like, okay, well, we have to... bust this guy, so set up a meeting with him, and then we'll be across the restaurant. And then the guy shows...
Because he called her back. Like, he called her back and was like, it's time for you to pay me another $600 for the second month's pack or something like that. Dumbass bitch.
So then he sets up a meeting with her, and then...
People fall for scams like that, and I don't understand, like... What are you going off of to believe that this box is going to make you a different woman? You know what I mean?
Just being convinced by, like, this asshole. This asshole is scamming and fucking. Like, what he does is he just scams these women, and then the ones that are, like, the most emotionally broken, he just has sex with them also. Because...
Yeah, and then charges them $600 later.
Because the woman, he comes in, he's like, oh, wow, you don't even need... You don't even need the new box. I mean, look, you look gorgeous. How are things? Are people treating you differently? And she's immediately like, oh my gosh, I want him so bad because he's so sweet. It was crazy. It also must suck to be an actress where you, like, go in for a part and it's like, okay, we need you to play, like, plain Jane who's kind of unattractive.
Yeah, like, I was thinking about that too.
Like, you have to be someone that's not conventionally attractive that would get tricked into a beauty scheme. Like, that sucks for that
You kind of have to have a forgetful face.
To be that actress?
Yeah, in a sense, I feel like. Because, like, so I don't know. That's what I was thinking when I was watching it. Because she kind of, like, I've seen that episode a lot. And when that lady comes in, I'm like, oh yeah, it's this lady. But, like, I can't ever remember, like, who she is. But I know this episode really well. I know about the box.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid, but her face never sticks with me. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
When they have casting calls for that, they're like, we need a forgetful face actress. Like, we just need somebody that you're going to forget almost immediately.
I don't know. I feel like that's what character actors are.
Well, people, some of them.
People with forgetful faces.
But some of them,
that's why you can have two character, like, you have a character actor play two different characters in the same TV show.
Yeah, that happens. It happens on this quite a bit, actually.
You know what I mean? At some point, you just run out of character actors. You got to keep using them. But, yeah, I mean, anyways.
That storyline ends with Medavoy pretending to be a different con man. And then the guy
I liked how they tricked him. I thought that was interesting. That was an interesting way to get him in. And then get Medavoy to talk about lotto tickets and shit. That was interesting.
Because then the guy is such a horrible person. Because he's like, yeah, you just got to find ugly chicks and then convince them that you can make them beautiful. And then the guy's like, do you have sex with these women? He's like, oh, rarely, if I can help it. And it's like, wow.
What does he do? Anyways.
I was like, that's your pool, dude. That's like the pool you fish from.
Yeah.
Because you're a piece of shit. You're a horrible human being.
He had greasy hair.
That's your problem with him? His greasy hair?
But, like, from what I remember, maybe, like, I don't know. It's like, his hair wasn't slicked back. It felt like it had some volume to it. This is getting really weird. But it just looked greasy the whole time.
Looked a little greasy.
Yeah.
Looked a little greasy, crazy.
It's greasy. I don't like it.
Raymond ends up going to jail after Simone brings him to the precinct and says, hey, you need to stay away from the club. And the guy's like, why? What's the problem? It's just a club, blah, blah, blah. He's like, there are wise guys there. He's like, yeah, but people like to be entertained, man. It's no big deal. And he's like, you need to stay away from the club, Raymond. And then the guy's like, no, that's not a problem. I'll be fine. And then he goes to jail, like, 2 days after that.
For what?
Raymond. Raymond goes to jail for, like, a drug bust at the club.
Oh, that's right. I thought that was in a different episode. I forgot that it was all jam-packed into one. Sorry.
Simone goes to visit him, and he's like, you're gonna get me out of this, right, Bobby? You're gonna get me out of this jam. And he's like, dude, I can't. Also, I fucking told you to stay away. And he said, yeah, but you didn't give me specifics.
Yeah, and it's one of the maddest Simone ever gets. He, like, it looks like he's gonna kill him.
Because, yeah, the dude's a dumbass. Like, I told you something, you didn't listen, and now you're blaming me for you not listening to me earlier. It's...
Yeah, and Simone did the right thing, kind of just washed his hands of it.
It's also, in a way, Simone probably puts his job in danger by warning him. Isn't that kind of, like, illegal?
Oh, 100%.
Use inside 100%. Information?
Because, like, they probably have... The narcotics team that's in there probably has, like, a huge plan.
And
it probably has a bunch of evidence, probably has a bunch of, like, things. And if he goes and tells the Sasabo, hey, don't be a part of that, and it makes Sasabo think there's going to be a bust, it could ruin the whole thing for them.
Yeah.
And it could get off criminal. So, yeah, oh, yeah, 100%. Did you think it was okay to just give away information?
No.
Like, were you thinking it was cool?
Well, the thing that bothers me is, like, this DeSalvo guy is so selfish and stupid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That, like, that happens, and then he's like, well, you didn't tell me enough. And it was like, dude, he risked his job, like, potential jail time, telling you to stay away from the club without giving you specifics. He just said stay away, which is bad enough. Like, if he helps you out now, then IAB is probably going to be up his ass. And they probably would have been after they found out that that guy now avoided the club, and Simone had gotten him out of a jam earlier. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like, he's He doesn't, would
have traced back to him big time.
He doesn't understand, like, what a big sacrifice Simone made to try and keep him out of jail, and now that he's in there, the guy's like, oh, what else are you gonna do for me? He's a shitty person.
Yeah, and he's always talking about, like, what he's... The club's almost his, you know?
And it's like, no, it isn't, dude. Club does not
But every time there. Every time you talk to him, it's like something different is why it's, like, not his yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just... Yeah.
And I think Simone said to him this when they met at the police station, he said, don't... He's like, if you want to be a wise guy, but don't be kind of a wise guy. Which I think...
True.
Which, like, is a good point, because guess what? If you're not in with the circle, you're the one that gets fucked over. They're going to lawyer up themselves. They're not going to give a shit about you, like, because you don't mean anything to them.
Yeah, and if you're just, if you're just the, never mind. You got it. Hitting it on the head.
Sibowitz.
Nail, head, hit it.
Sibowitz and Simone get the guy after the boss rolls on him. And shows that shows him, like, the travel log, which shows that he was in the city at the time.
Yeah, and the boss apologizes.
The boss apologizes. He gives...
Which...
Boss showed him a little something, is what...
Yeah, which makes it... Yeah, which is really good for the team morale, because it shows that if he makes mistakes, he's willing to...
Admit and make changes.
Accept his mistakes. Yeah, admit it. So that's great.
Sibowitz and Simone get the guy to confess... Sipowicz has a moment with him, like, in the hallway, where the guy asks, like, about details or something.
I'm trying to remember, does the guy really confess, or is it, like...
Oh, no, they found the knife in the truck.
That's right.
So,
and
like...
then he goes, you had it, like, a sadistic, because you wanted her to see it or something like that.
You wanted to show it to her.
Show it to her, yeah, and then that's when they're, like... Simone's about to punch him on the bench, and then they talk to the captain. Sorry, yeah.
But Sipowicz says, shut up or I'll break your jaw.
Yeah.
Going hard on him. The whole episode ends with, of course, NYPD Blue softcore, where I believe you see Simone's ass in a window.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And Benita is, like, half naked, but covering up the parts that get you off of TV.
Does his, like, this is gonna be controversial.
Uh-oh.
Question.
Uh-oh, controversial question. When
does talking about his ex-wife get him horny?
I don't
because,
know.
Because, like, Benita came over, they started talking about his ex-wife and his new place, why he moved. And then she's like, oh, I can go, and he's like, no, stay. Boom, dick out.
Well, that isn't this episode. This episode, they've already been dating a while. And they're just naked.
No, that's this episode.
No, it isn't.
It happens earlier in the episode. Yeah, it does.
Well, regardless.
I just watched it, son.
All right, whatever. This one, what I have written here is, he has a naked speech about Raymond with her, and he says, like, yeah, like, he used to take care of me, and it just sucks that this happened to him now, and...
Oh, yeah, but they boned.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So before that scene... He starts talking about his ex-wife, and he's like, yeah, I'm ready to go now, or his dead wife.
I haven't seen the episode, so maybe you are right, but I remember him talking about Raymond specifically, and then they start boning after that.
I wasn't. I was talking about Simone getting hard talking about his dead wife.
Well, you know, maybe that does happen. I mean... The dude's complicated.
If you don't remember, then it's not a talking point, so let's move on.
Kyle, I think you have your episodes mixed up.
I don't think I do.
I think you do, but that's fine. Anyway, every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com and where podcasts are dropped. NYPD Blue is not on any format you can stream it, which is frustrating, but just yell at Amazon because they used to have it. I've been Kirk, and the other voice has been Kyle. Kyle, do you have anything to say to anyone out there? Recommendations, life advice.
Watch Better Call Saul?
Watch Better Call Saul. I need to watch it. I haven't started it.
First season's really good. I enjoyed it a lot. I don't got anything.
Alright. Later, everybody. Watch NYPD Blue.